beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Paul, but he was constrained to preach that message of truth because of the love that he had for Christ. Praise God. So he was saying, the love of Christ constrained us because we thus judge. It has to be a spiritual judgment. It has to be a spiritual judgment. You can't judge that with human senses. How can somebody die for your sin? The world has not taken it in. They are not likely to take it in. Praise God. Verse 15. Quickly, please. He said, and that he died for all, not for the church. Hello, church. Not for who? It's not for the church. Jesus Christ did not die for the church. He died for all. He died for all. And in this time that I have, I'm going to give you the scriptural details of all of these things so that you will know that church is just an organization of Christ that should preach this message of truth unto the world. And we are not going to preach it until we are constrained by the same love in which Paul was constrained. Praise God. Until we come into that depth of love, that depth of understanding, that depth of affection, we will not do it. Because it does not sound reasonable. How can you meet your professor, the dean of your faculty, and say, Jesus died for you? You must equip yourself with fundamental, basic, scriptural truth that will convince him that indeed he does. And I'm trusting God that in this confines, we are going to look at it so that we will also become a reconciliator unto him which he has called us. Praise God. Verse 16. Okay, hold on. He said, and that he died for all, that they which live. Now, this is what the world does not want. They don't want to give up certain things. Those who live should not henceforth live unto themselves. They should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. This is an aberration. How will I not live for myself? Why will I live for someone that I have not seen? Or that I did not know the time when he was dying for me? It's an aberration. So, what the world does is to look for a logical reason why they should not believe this. Do you understand? They don't want to give up certain things. Now, he's not asking them to give up certain things, but he's also asking them to give up their life for he that died for them. Do you get what I'm saying? So, we are not talking to the world now. We are talking to the church. In other words, we really need to think about it that if he gave himself for us, we ought also to give ourselves unto him. So that we are not living for ourselves again, but we are living for him who died for our sins. Verse 16. We are for henceforth, knowing no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. And so they call him the son of carpenter. Is his father not with us? Do we not know his siblings? Why will he say that he died for us? Praise God. The best of the doctrines of this, the death and resurrection of Christ, was written in the Quran. They said that he was too holy to die. Praise God. Does that not sound reasonable? That he was too pure to die. That even if you lay Christ upon the cross, that the nail cannot hold him there. Praise God. It's unreasonable. If somebody comes to our midst and preach that message, we will look at it again and again and say, Kini de likely low tall. Do you understand? So we really need to teach the truth as it regards to his death and the atonement of sin and the reconciliation of the entire world unto himself. The Bible said, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Christ was not reconciling people to himself. He was reconciling the world unto God. The best of pastors today, what they do is to reconcile people unto themselves. Do you understand? They reconcile people unto themselves. So they are not teaching the doctrines of Christ. They are teaching the doctrine of pastor. They are looking the way pastor is looking, not the way Christ is looking. They are not doing what Christ is doing, but they are doing what the pastor is doing. But the Bible said that, look unto him who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Gaze away your eyes from men. But pastor were reconciling the church unto themselves. Praise God. Verse 17. So they were not prepared to give up the word. Therefore, look at this. Therefore, if any man or a woman, of course, it's not gender issue now. When he's talking about man, we are all men. Woman, man. Remove W-O. The meaning of woman is womb man. Do you understand? Womb man. The one that carries womb. The word W-O is womb. Womb man. So we are all men. Praise God. The Bible said that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is what? A new creature. He's a new creature. Now, this is a created Bible. We can make so many things out of this. Is that not true? But does that make it a new creature? It's not newly manufactured. It was rebranded. So we must have a clear understanding of this world, who we are, that we are a new creature. I'm no longer from Adamic lineage. I've changed my genealogy. Praise God. I've changed my style of lifestyle. I am no longer affected by the sin of Adam. The day I am newly created. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I am no longer affected by the sin of Adam. I am a new creature. So you cannot begin to see that the issue of recreated spirit does not tally with this. Praise God. The issue of recreated spirit does not tally with this fact. Because he says, he's a new creature. I am a new being. A brand new man. I have no history. Again, they can't trace my history. My history is just newly commenced. It's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. Did you see how new you are? The day you gave your life to Christ, you don't have history of sin. You don't have history of sinful nature anymore. At that point in time, there is a transposition of a personality. The old you is dead. The first thing he said is that if he died for all, he that died for all, because he died for all should also die for him. So at that point in time, you are dead. You were a dead person. No history of your sin could be traced anymore. A new creature. A brand new one. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. And all things are what? Of God. I am of God. Bola of God. Praise God. I was telling the story of how I was named Bola of God when I was in a particular church. Praise God. It's a long story. I'll be brief about it. A woman lied against me. Praise God. And I said, okay, call her. If she actually said this about me, and the pastor has believed it. By the time they sat her down, and she said, no, pastor, that is not the way I said it. No, I didn't say this. I didn't say that. Meanwhile, the wife of the pastor was already tapping her husband's leg. Take it easy. This person might not. But pastor was so convinced because he's one of the sponsors of the church who gave dollar in the church. But she lied against me. She said things that I never said, things that I never did. She said, I do it. I said, call her. And I was saying that, see, the first day that you asked me to come to your house, I declined it. I said, I'm not coming because I don't walk in the night. You asked me that you are traveling to Paris. I should drop you, I should sleep in your house, drop you in the airport. And I said, no, sorry, I don't sleep. I don't go out in the night. He said, okay, you can come in the evening. Maybe you play with. I said, no, I won't do that. I said, is that not true? He said, yes. Then when you came back, you asked me for a plumber. I said, I don't have a plumber that I will send to you. All my plumbers are industrial plumber. Then the first day that I will come to your house, it was the pastor himself that, come. If you go to the house of this person, what will wrong? What is he go there? And I went there. The first thing you are telling me is about your pastor. I said, I was put off. That you are telling me the story of somebody who loved you, who cared about you. I said, I was put off with your action. The clothes, the dresses that you brought for me from Paris, I said, did I take it from you? I did not take it. I said, so what's your problem? He said, actually, I didn't say that to pastor, this and that. And the wife now began to call me Brabola of God. Praise God. Because there was an exhibition of new creation reality. And the man apologized. Well, we are sorry. We are being misled. Praise God. So, in other words, and all things are of God. In other words, you don't look at your things as of my things. It is what I am doing. It is for God. Praise God. It is for God. Reconcile us unto himself by Jesus and has given us what? The ministry of what? Of reconciliation. Because we are dead to ourselves. And we understand the basic tenet of, sin and forgiveness. We can go to someone and begin to preach the ministry of reconciliation unto that person. Praise God. Verse 19, is that the last one? Okay, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, did you see that? Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and that committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Have your way tonight. Have your way tonight. We trust you that you will have your way tonight. We believe that you will have your way tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do that which only you can do. Hallelujah. I have previously discussed on how sin defamed Adam and how Adam passed on sin onto all humanity. Praise God. I discussed about it. How sin defamed Adam and how he passed sin to all humanity. Of course, if you go to the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5, 17. So 5:12. Romans 5:12. Quickly, please. Romans 5. The time you are delaying, I will deduct it from the time they give me. Romans 5:12. Okay. Wherefore, as by one man's sin enter into the world. Did you understand? Through one man, sin came to the world. And so, sin appeared in the figure of death. For the soul that sin shall surely die. But the unfortunate thing is that even then, that does not commit the sin of Adam, after the similitude of the sin of Adam, sin were also imputed upon them. They were also reckoned as sinner. Even though they don't have specific commandments that God gave unto them that they disobeyed. Do you understand what I'm talking about? They don't have any specific commandment. God did not give them like he gave to Adam. He didn't give specific commandment that this is what you should do, and because they failed to do it, they were reckoned as sinner. No, that was not the case. But the case is that because they came from the genealogy who has committed sin. So what Adam did was to pass the nature of sin upon them. Do you understand? So he passed the nature of sin upon all men, for that all are sin. Now, it takes us to the fact that sin is more than disobedience of what? Of commandment. Please listen. Sin is what? Is more than disobedience of commandment. Because we saw some people who had not committed sin, and yet sin were reckoned with them. So, I may be a moralist. I may be walking in the path of my own self-righteousness. I may begin to keep things that the world, you know, are doing, and I am not doing that. That does still not make me a sinless person. And that was why I was telling you that David said it in a lighter language. He said, in sin, is my mother conceived me, and in that sin, my life is shaped. So, it does not matter whether you are moralist or you are self-high righteous. If you have not come into a place where you obtain the righteousness that God has given unto us through Christ Jesus, you are a terrible sinner. Hello, church. You are a terrible sinner. In fact, you are an idiotic sinner. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it has nothing to do with breaking of commandment. So, sin is not just about the breaking of commandment alone. Sin is the nature of man. Hello. Sin is what? Is the nature of man. My little daughter, sometimes she does certain things that is wise. And I said, well, it was in sin that you were conceived. Because she inherited that nature. It was passed. I don't know the code that was in Adam. That code is still imparting the entire earth till Christ will come again. Praise God. Hallelujah. That thing is going to be wiped off completely after the second coming of Christ. But as at now, as only as Pastor Sheyo Seibi is, if he give birth today, that baby is a sinner. Praise God. Until, you know, miracle and Maranatha gave their life unto Christ, they remain sinners. Until Samuel, Princess, and Cinderella gave their life to Christ, they are yet in their sin. Praise God. Do they break any commandment? No. They inherited it. It's their nature. And once something is your nature, it takes another nature before that thing could be wiped away. Praise God. So, if sin is not the breaking of commandment alone, then We have a set of religion who has not taught us what sin is all about. As a matter of fact, major problem of the entire earth is religion. It is what? It's religion. Why men still be in their sin is as a result of religion. Listen, religion came to multiply sin. Hello? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Religion came to multiply sin. They have not come to reduce sin in man, but they came to multiply sin. You can look at Islamic religion. Praise God. You can look at Christian religion. They came to multiply sin. Why? Because they begin to emphasize on what Christ did not emphasize. They begin to teach on what Christ did not teach. They begin to do things according to their own understanding. Not, the Bible said that if anyone does not do this work, the light is not in him. They don't have the light of God who that will enlighten them to do the things that Christ did. So, the first major challenge of the world, why the world has not abstained from sin, or why the world has not come out of sin, is religion. Praise God. Man is consciously aware of the fact that a day is coming when he will have an appointment with the deity. Whether you are a babalawo or you are whatever you are. Do you understand? Every man, there is no one that is not conscious of that. One of the dread of Islam is the day they are going into grave. And they feel that in that place, there are angels who torture in the grave. According to their scripture, they give you worm to eat according to your work, especially if you are rich and you don't give food to the poor. So, what they do is to organize the law of zakat. That, oh, when you have this, give this to the poor, give that to the poor. This is still a religious exercise. Abi, sir. That's what they do, sir. They steal from someone and give, they will steal from the nation and give to their kinsmen. You need to go to the north. How many of you served in the north? The number is very negligent. I lived in the north for good 1 year doing a job for them. Listen, if you are eating in a good restaurant, of course, I go to a good restaurant because I like good food. Praise God. Go to good restaurant. If you put your food here, you are eating. You have not finished. You just made mistake of standing to do something before you come. They pack your food. And you can't talk. They call them the Alimanjiris. You can't talk. That's their last time. So they do Rankadede. They do Rankadede. I have a friend, Alhaji Megandi. When you go there, you will see them. And you know what this man, you know what he does? He will sit down with them. There was a time when I said, Alhaji Megandi, you are a thief. This thing cannot take. You know, one of them said, he said, you are talking to our leader like that. I said, it's your leader, it's not my leader. I said, you are a thief. You are stealing from people to feed these people and they are doing Rankadede for you. He said, how do you know that? I said, where did you get the money? What's your salary? You are not working. You are a bloody civilian. No work. How did you get money? He said, Bello, you have started with your problem. Oh. You have started with your warning. Oh. I said, nobody, you can't scratch me. Of course, we work with soldiers. Praise God. We work with soldiers. Do you understand? So you can see that religion has multiplied sin unto men. They prescribe certain things that is not the prescription of Christ. Of course, Christ said you can do all this, work charity, but the weightiest of all is to know him. Praise God. Praise God. So, you see, man conscript all kind of things in the name of God. Conscript all kind of things. We saw one in Athens. To the unknown God. Praise God. Why? If you don't know him, what brought him into your midst? Why are you doing devotion? And they were doing devotion, serious devotion, scrape their head. Have this. Scrape their head. Sit down for hours. One of them more is unknown God. Why don't you come to the one that you know? To the unknown God. The book of Romans chapter 1. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. The one I said now is in the book of Acts 17:23. Romans 1:23. The Bible said that unchanged the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like to corruptible. This is what the Bible is saying. I take this iron, this is iron, Abi, and I frame it. I make it look white. And I put it here as an altar. And early in the morning, koni o ye mi o, ki ri ba ti se ki ran na gbe gba. Do you know that kind of chanting? But a time is coming when that thing will be what? Will be corrupted. It begins to peel off. It begins to peel off. Especially when you put oil on it. Praise God. So they craft an image and make it as uncorruptible God. And this image is corruptible. Praise God. The Bible said that. And to birds. Some people call Indian. There's nothing the Indian will not call God. Python is their God. Snake is their God. Bird is their God. Malu. Just name it. Praise God. Four-footed beasts and creeping things. Why? Because man is conscious of the fact that he's a sinner. And he has an appointment with his maker one day when he's going to give an account of his works. So he's trying to make up. What do I do to be saved? How do I come into salvation? Praise God. But they have forgotten that no religion on earth, including Christianity, not Islam, not Hindus, not Guru Maharaj, not, you know, great message, have the capacity to forgive sin. Praise God. Their God does not have capacity to forgive sin. They cannot forgive sin. They can only multiply sin. As a matter of fact, when you make that, you are already multiplying sin. Great messenger cannot multiply sin. I mean, cannot forgive sin. Islam cannot forgive sin. So, the world needs someone who can forgive sin. Who can banish sin. Who can uproot sin. So that the world will not be damned. And this is where Christ came. Praise God. Listen, the fact is this, the world, the entire world, accept the universal spread of sin through Adam. Did you hear me? The entire world accept the spread of sin. That the sin is universal, and it was spread by who? By Adam. The world accept that. Every religion accept that. That we become sin through Adam. But one thing that the world has not accepted, that there is universal forgiveness through the work of propitiation. They have not come to that reality. They have not come to accept that fact. The book of John chapter 1 verse 29. Yeah, John 1, 29. Quickly, please. John 1, 29. The next day, John said Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of what? Of the world. He said, see the Lamb. See what the world has been seeking for all this year. See the person who will save the world from their sins. It was an emphatic statement. And this man was an authority in his days. Praise God. So, listen. God is now going to judge the world. Not because the world is a sinner. But he's going to judge the world because the world does not accept the gift of forgiveness. Do you understand? Because the world failed to accept the gift of forgiveness. That is the judgment. Praise God. John chapter 16. Let's look at John chapter 16 and confirm that. From verse 7. John 16, 7. Then nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. 8, please. And when he is come, he will reprove. What? He will reprove. The word reprove is correct. So the word does not yield to the corrections. He will reprove. He will begin to oppose. Reproof is to oppose. He will oppose the activities of sin. He said, and of righteousness, self-tied righteousness. He's going to reprove the self-tied righteousness. Why? Because the acceptable righteousness has come. He said, and of judgment. Praise God. He's going to reprove that. In other words, sense judgment, human judgment, that this is how I do it, will be invalidated. Praise God. Now we can ask questions. And it's important, and I guess that God is going to ask questions. That if the world accepts that sin was spread through Adam, why is it difficult for the world to accept that righteousness was a gift through Christ? Do you understand? I'm just trying to let you see the judgment of God and how he's going to place his judgment. It's not because somebody was a bad sinner. He had the privilege to be saved from his sin. Because the sin that he was bad was not his own fault. He was brought into it. Do you understand? He was brought into a conflict that he knew nothing about. And so he was immersed in that conflict and he became a victim of that conflict, and God in his own wisdom and in his own power became man. Became man. So that he will transpose his righteousness and your own sin to him, to himself, and his own righteousness unto you. So all that's left is for the world to believe that, oh, it makes sense. What is the, why blindness? Why has Satan blind us? Why has Satan? Do you know Yoruba will say, ah, oh my damn. At what point do they say that? Have you heard anybody saying that before? And oh madam, oh they say it. They know this. But they do not accept the fact that there is a universal forgiveness that came from Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, of course, the sin of Adam, God forgives. How do I know? He came to the garden and he took clothes unto him. Abby? He was no longer angry with Adam. That's the truth. He wasn't angry with Adam. But I want you to understand this basic truth. That when Adam was made, he was made after the similitude of the last Adam. They share the same nature. Praise God. Adam and Christ share the same, they have similar nature. Adam was created in neither mortal or immortal. Hello? Hello, church. Do you understand? He was neither a mortal person or immortal person. But he has absolute right to make the choice of what he wants to be. Praise God. The book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 19. 2:19. Let's start from 16. He said, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou may freely eat. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day, listen, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die. That word is translated in dying, you will die. In dying, you will die. In other words, he was not meant to die. He was created as a mortal person. But there is no possibility of that immortality to thrive and to continue. That immortality can only thrive in him as much as he obey and abide with the commandment of God. Is that clear? Do we understand that? That immortality can only thrive as much as he obey. Why? Because there was a spirit in man. That spirit was not the spirit of the world. It was the spirit of God that had capacity and tenacity to sustain Adam for the rest of life. Praise God. So, but there is a caveat. The continuity of your life is largely dependent on the fact that you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For yea, the day that you eat from that tree, in dying, you will surely die. So it carries some immortality. He was neither mortal, he was neither created mortal or immortal. He has the capacity to make his own choice that, oh, I choose life. But he chose death. Praise God. That was the fashion of Christ. Hello? That was the fashion of Christ. They have the same fashion. Why? Because he was not born of a man. The Bible said that he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. So when he was coming, he came with the nature of God. But that nature of God was embodied with flesh. Do you understand? It was embodied with flesh. And so that flesh has capacity to commit sin. Hello? That flesh has capacity to commit sin, but he chose not. That's why he said, the prince of this world cometh, but he found nothing against me. Hallelujah. So the question is, what happened to that man? Why was it possible for him to suffer death? Praise God. How? Praise God. Hallelujah. So, we see the first man as hearty person. And the last person who came from heaven. is heavenly. And a natural man, for that matter, but make spirituality his food. The last Adam, he desired to abide in spirit. He desired to abide in spirit, though a carnal person. Although he has the body of man, but he chose not to use his flesh as an occasion to sin. So Jesus Christ has capacity to live eternally. He has capacity to live eternally. So he was also created as neither mortal nor immortal. Do you understand that? When you draw it, he was never created. So it's his choice. It's his choice. And he really need to bargain for this. He really need to bargain for this. Because at a point in time, he was about to throw in the towel. He was about to throw in the towel. And to become a what? A mortal person. Because the commandment of God is the final. It's what makes you what? Immortal. Thank you, sir. It's the commandment of God. What you keep, what you abide by, what the principle and precept of it. So he was almost throwing in the towel because of the flesh of man that he was embodied with. So you see the issue of emotions. You see the issue of members of his body fighting so hard that you are not going to die. Peter was one of the agents of Satan. Praise God. The Bible said that he took him apart. When he said that for the Son of Man must go and die. He said, and the Bible said that he began to rebuke the master. Peter. You better be careful. I like the way Pastor used to say. We must not hear that from you again. Imagine God will end the man. He cook it. In death we shall not die. Praise God. But you know what? He needed to fight back. If you don't fight sin, sin will conquer you. Sin is normal. His operation is normal. What is abnormal in us is not to fight him. The Lord Jesus Christ fought him. He said, what did he say to Peter? He said, get behind me, Satan. He wasn't called him Satan, but he knew that it was Satan that was speaking through him. Normal Peter. We not go to that extent of rebuking the master with all our plan. We are going to be crowned as king. The whole world is waiting for you to be crowned as king. Yes. No, don't ever say it again. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou sufferest the things of men. That is what flesh does. Suffers the things of men. It suffers the earthly things. So he was sharply rebuked. We must continually rebuke sin. Anytime, any day, they rear their head against us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, listen. The atmosphere of the earth is wicked. We are not going to underrate that. The atmosphere of the earth is sinful. The atmosphere of the earth is very corrupt. The atmosphere, when I talk about atmosphere, there is sin in the land. There is sin even in the hill where you go to pray. Hello, church. I went to go and pray in one mountain. And they were cursing that if you don't join this fellowship, Olorun o ni gbo adura e. Mi o dan tori mo mo pa won call Olorun. That's why the Bible said that he that knows their God will be strong and do exploits. I didn't come for your gathering. I come on my own, and that mountain is free for all. He said, and the woman was so audacious to come to me. And I told her, I said, you are not God. Your pastor is not God. I did not come to pray for to your pastor. It's God that I came to. I said, do you know what I carry to? Now your pastor will tell me that if I didn't join you, that cause has gone to him, not me. And I was furious too. There is sin in the mountain. There is sin in the hill. There is sin in the valley. There is sin in the sky. Praise God. But guess what? In all this realm, the Lord Jesus Christ fought sin and he conquered. Praise God. He fought with sin. He was in the hill. You remember when he was taken to the hill? Satan came to tempt him. He defeated Satan there. When he was in the valley, at the garden of Gethsemane, Satan came again. Praise God. That was the land. And when he was on the air at the cross of Calvary, Satan was also there with him to tempt him and say, be you are a son of God. That was insulting. That was a campaign of calumny. It was enough for him to say, ma fira mi hun. Boya ma te tun gori oke pada. I can do it if I were him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Any of us can do it. Just to prove a point. I will pay me pay if I am the son of God. Okay, I will show you that I'm the son of God. I mean, praise God. Better be careful there. So any of us can do it. But the Lord Jesus Christ behaved as if he did not hear him. There are certain things you must not listen when Satan is talking. You know this is the voice of Satan. Just block your ear. Block it. Praise God. So sin is everywhere, but the Lord Jesus Christ went into every place where sin dwells and he conquered sin. Romans chapter 3 verse 25. They have given me 10 minutes, but I will spend 15 minutes. Romans 3:25. Look at this. He said, womb, that's the third person singular. Womb, God has set forth to be a propitiation. The word propitiation could also be interpreted as substitute. Praise God. It could also be interpreted as atonement. Whom God has set for to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness, the righteousness of God in what? In the remission of sin that are what? That are passed through the forbearance and endurance and patience of the Almighty God. He set him forth to be a propitiation, a substitution. You won't understand what the word propitiation is all about until you go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. Quickly go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. Let's read from verse 7. Leviticus 16. Quickly, my brother. He said, and he shall take two goats. Because you can see how God is playing this thing out from time to time. Now, propitiation is not a new thing. It's not a new concept in the New Testament. God did it for Abraham. Do you understand? He exchanged Isaac for what? For ram. Praise God. He exchanged Isaac for ram. That's the law of substitution. And it was a shadow of what to come. And by that singular act, he declared Abraham as righteous before him. He said, now I know that you truly love me. By myself have I sworn in blessing, I will bless you. And through you, through your seed, the generation of the earth shall be what? Shall be blessed. Praise God. Because Abraham could see it far. So we also see it because now Aaron or Moses was writing what has been before. He was not writing a new commandment. He was writing what has been before. He said, and he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 8. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats. Eti lot bamu is the sacrificial goat. One lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. So it was the scapegoat that the lot was called. And this was clearly played out at the judgment of Christ in Pilate place. Praise God. Now that man called Barnabas, is it Barabbas? Barabbas represent the entire heart. Praise God. Who was guilty and sinful before the Almighty God and deserved death. At that point in time, they have judged him as to be executed. He was awaiting execution. Praise God. It's not as if they are going to make a new judgment about him. He was already awaiting execution. Yes, sir. But they brought two of them who are the scapegoats. Who are the goats waiting for sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ was brought. Barabbas was brought. And they cast lots. They cast lots. Whom will you choose among Jesus and Barabbas? And the Lord fall on who? On Jesus. Cast him away. Release Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. He asked, what do you want me to do for him? Praise God. Matthew 27. Let's go to Matthew 27. That's where the story is, from verse 17. He said, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate had said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? You remember the story of two scapegoats in the book of Leviticus. One was released into the wilderness. The other one was used as sacrifice. And the priest will lay hand upon him, and they will put knife on him for an atonement for the sin of Israel. So it was a shadow. This is the reality of those two goats. Now the Lord Jesus Christ has ceased from being a ram, or from being a lamb here. He has become what? Scapegoat. He has become a goat. Because right in the garden, when he was bargaining for an escape, Lord, the father did not answer the son. Praise God. The father did not, that I expected something better than this. This is not the negotiation. But the angels came and began to minister to their master. That's the will of God for you. Praise God. And he said, go, let's go, let's go, let's go. The adversary has come. Do you understand? He bargained for it, but he could not find it. He said, Lord, if this is your will, it shall be done. But if it is possible, all things are possible. He was saying words, surely words. The Lord Jesus Christ, that was flesh. At that particular point in time of his life, he was saying surely words. All things are possible. He was trying to Gaolong. Do you understand? All things are possible. And Father did not answer at that point in time. Supposing he had yielded to the flesh, the generation of the heart is doomed. He would have also lost his sonship. Praise God. Because God is just, sir. Abisa. He judged him for disobedience. He was not forced. He said, I lay it down myself. When God was asking for volunteer, he said, I will go. Who will go for us? He volunteer. So why will you now bail out? So at the garden, he was already a goat. He was no longer a lamb. Of course, he was a lamb that was sacrificed at Calvary. But the sin of the world has been laid on him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that was what made it possible for him to die at the cross. Do you get what I'm talking about? Without sin imputed on him, because he has an immortal nature, and he has not committed anything until the sin of the world was imputed on him when he became sin. He now became sin. Do you get it? He became sin so that you and myself can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the sin of the entire world was already imputed on him, and he became the lamb that was sacrificed for the sin of the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, we could see the victory over sin, not just in Gethsemane, but even at the cross of Calvary. So, with enthusiasm, Paul screamed, sin shall not have dominion over you again. He understood what he was saying. He was saying it with boldness because they knew what they were talking about. They were not saying a swelling word. They traced it back to the days of Moses. As a matter of fact, to the days of Adam. Do you know that he did propitiation for Adam? Praise God. So, the issue of propitiation started from the day of Adam down to the day of Christ. No more propitiation for sin. Hello? Nobody is standing for the sin of anybody. Nobody. What we need to do is to speak what is required. And once that is spoken, the blood of anyone shall not be upon our head. So, it was in the garden that sin was imputed. It was in the garden that sin was conceived. And it was also in the garden that righteousness was also imputed and sin was banished. The good news for the church today is that sin has been banished. Sin should not have dominion over us again. We are the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We appreciate you for this little effort that we have invested in the life of those that are heir of salvation. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for help. Thank you for salvation. My request is that this will not stand against any of us. It won't stand against the speaker. It won't stand against the hearers. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the days of reckoning, we will rejoice in your presence. Thank you, dear Lord, for we ask in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor B. That was deep. I hope we understood what he was saying. Is there anyone that has a question or you want more explanation? Maybe you heard something or you said that you weren't sure of any person. Look, there's no point trying to say, if I raise my hand, nope, now they'll start looking at me one way. Nobody's looking at you one way. Praise God. Your question may just be what is on, so it will help a few of us. Thank you, bro, Paul, for being bold.
There was a time he was talking about how sin transfers from...
Yeah, when it transfers to... Yeah, from Adam.
From Adam. Then he was given an analogy of Shindara and Co. So I want to understand better how because the Bible says, make good the tree and the fruits be good. So, of course, I don't have issue with the statement, but I want to understand how it is that someone that is born again, someone that is that has given his life to Christ, your sin is forgiven. You believe in the atoning sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you, and what will come out of you will still be subjected to the sin of Adam. I want to understand that.
I feel sorry for all of us. Praise God. How can you think that way? How can your mind go there? Eh? Praise God. Now that you have been forgiven, there's a place they say the father will not die for the son, and the son will not die for the father. Everybody's individual sin you will bear. That you are forgiven, they did not give you right to transfer your righteousness to your child. Are you with me? You were not given. In fact, that was a serious problem. On the day of my father's burial, somebody stood beside me. Maybe they didn't know I was one of the sons. So I said, ah! Doctor, something be cool. Oh, Lord. Oh, you boy, I was supposed to be mourning. I was laughing. We couldn't transfer it. If you meet my father knows English. Ah, no, my father knows English. Emi Gomo, he knows English. But he couldn't give it to any of us. Okay, apart from my will. Yeah, Pastor, take my English. He didn't give anybody. So likewise, no matter how righteous you are, you have no provisions in that atonement to transfer it to your son. You see, you have to understand how Adam became a son. Pastor said something very fundamental. When he was created, he was neither mortal or immortal. It was a choice he needed to make that would have decided his fate. Sure, you understand. That would have decided his fate. However, we don't know what could have happened if he had eaten from the tree of life. We don't know. We can just hypothesize. We will not get anywhere till tomorrow. However, it's part of the promise that he that overcomes will be given to eat from the tree of life. So that's the promise. So I don't know what it consists of. I don't know how it will look like. I don't have a clue. But that's the promise. Amen. However, like I said, you see, we must understand something. When you come before the judge, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who pleads your case before the judge. Remember, I've said this. When God is a judge, he does not act as a father. He's not a father. Once he's seated and he's wearing his judicial robe, he's not a father. He sees nothing. He's going to react based on the facts of the case and pass his judgment. I hope you appreciate that. And so, the advocate stands and presents an eloquent testimony. And what is his testimony? The blood. That was the testimony. The blood, the atonement. That blood speaks that this blood was paid. This is his ransom. And for that reason, the father declares you not guilty. So at the point you were declared not guilty, all things, your history,
in God's presence is cancelled. You were born. You lived up to this age. They cancelled it. So, you see, the problem we have is that we are still conscious of this place. Thank God for good memory. You guys went to school. You are Sabi Day. But that is affecting us. In the presence of God, in the throne room of God, there is no record that you ever lived. Remember, the Lord told that woman, where are your accusers? Say, they've all gone. He said, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's where the problem lies. We now leave his presence and go back and sin. They will start counting your record, not from here, but from here. That is why if we have committed any sin, we have an advocate. If you confess, he cleanses us with his blood. I don't know whether you understand that. Now, that does not mean that that nature has completely died. Are you with me? You pass it across to the next generation. It's a nature. Praise God. But you see the funny thing? The nature is not passed through women. Have you seen any woman give birth without a man? Without a seed? The woman just simply receives seed and carries it. Do you know that a child does not take anything from the mother except food? Do you also know, technically, it is the man that determines the sex of the child? Etimo. Okay. Oh, my little brother, Dele. When you are the one, all the child I have are all girls. Oh, yeah, I want to have boy. It's not the girl's fault. It is your fault that gave. Just what you put there that you haven't said. That's the fact. So that is why if you read the Bible, it's always called the sin of Adam. I have told us before. When Eve ate the fruit, what happened? Nothing happened to creation. But immediately Adam ate, the whole creation died. So where was the thing controlling creation? It was in Adam, not in Eve. Praise God. Do you understand that? So you have to, so when you pass that seed, it's a life. And you know where that life is? It's called, it says the life of a man is where? In the blood. That's where a child does not share the blood from the mother. It is that thing that you put there, that baby will that will create that baby. The whole blood, the whole tissues, the whole bone, everything is inside that seed. Praise God. You now know, he planted trees in the garden. Trees that have what? Seed in them. And the life of that tree is in the seed thereof. What does the earth give the seed? It just creates the environment for the seed to grow. It has got, apart from food, there's nothing else that something does. It is that seed that carries the life, the DNA of that tree. Praise the Lord. So, that's why that child needs to come and be born again. Do you understand? And all of them must be born again. Of course, it gets to a time in their life, of course, up to a particular time when nothing is reckoned against them. If anything happens to them, in fact, the angels will just come and carry them, go to heaven straight. Nobody is contesting that. Satan does not contest it. Nobody contests it. But they get to an age when every record says it's time for them to begin to take action concerning their lives. I don't know when they determine that. But you will know the day you began to be conscious that you are a sinner. The day you started picking sweet, or you began to pick meat, and your mommy is coming and you do like this, then you have become conscious. You know no right from wrong. From that day, you are liable. That's why it's good to always teach them Christ while they are young. Amen. I hope we understand that. So, there's no provisions to pass my righteousness to my children. You must know Jesus. It was like Egan said. Egan, for a while, was standing up for his family. When they are sick, he'll stand, pray, receive divine healing. One time, Jesus cried, not hearing your prayer again. Lord said, no, he said, it's old enough. Let you come and ask me. I will hear you again. So, the boy too had to now learn how to now say, Jesus, I claim. It's called accountability. Praise the Lord. Any other? All right. Mr. Bimbo. It's getting more interesting now. Did you put up that microphone? Please put on the microphone. Technical. Okay.
Teaching in Corinthians concerning marriage. You know, he was talking about if you were married to an unbeliever, and if the unbeliever doesn't want to go, then you should remain in the marriage, you should not divorce. They were both unbelievers. Then he now got born again. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So one of them got born again, and he was counseling that you don't have to break as long as that other party wants to stay. Then he now said because the child from that marriage is sanctified by that party, that because of that party that is in Christ. So with this, what does that now? Okay, so what's the place of the sanctification, sir?
Praise God. Now, normally, in such occasion, the Bible says that the family is defiled in the Old Testament. I can't remember the scripture now. Okay, that once divorcement takes place, that woman has defiled the whole family. He says, so the next thing to do is to give the certificate of divorcement. Then if he comes back, after she has married to someone else, and you take her in, that she will come and defile the entire family. So now when Paul is talking about, I think Paul was talking in line with what he has read from the book of Exodus. He was talking in that respect that where there is a separation and the one is a believer, he said the baby, the children is not defiled, especially if they had known God. They have shown them the path of the
Pastor.
Soul. Yes, sir.
Which scripture is that? Sorry, I didn't get it.
The scripture that he quoted.
Okay, look at it.
Uh-huh.
For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean.
Did you see that?
But now,
are they holy because of the belief system of one of them? Now they are now clean. But that cleanliness, does, of course, that means they have accepted. It's a cause. You really need to understand this.
Can you give me another translation?
Amplify version
okay.
NXT.
Okay, for the unbelieving husband is set apart, separated, withdrawn from heathen contamination, mm-hmm. and affiliated with the Christian people by union with his consecrated, set apart wife. And the unbelieving wife is set apart and separated through union with our consecrated husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean. That means unblessed, heathen, outside the Christian covenant. But as it is, they are prepared for God, pure and clean.
Sorry, sir. And it also talk about the issue that we have addressed. The issue of teaching. Okay? Because there is nobody who will teach that child in the path of Christ. But there is somebody now who will indoctrinate the baby and teach him the part of life that this is what you should do, this is what you should not do. But once there is no such person, he will remain hidden and unclean until he meets with Christ. Do you understand? So he was just talking about the role of a parent in the upbringing of a child. It does not necessarily denote that salvation is passed across.
That's true. Praise God. It doesn't denote that salvation has passed across. But let me explain something about salvation. You see, when there is a family that there is no one in that family that is a Christian, they are under a curse. And curses open doors for
for demon entities. Are you with me? Curses open doors for spirits to afflict their family. And when they are afflicted, God has no judicial right in that family, because there is no basis for God to come in. That's the reason of blessedness. There is nothing that God can do. He has no legal grounds to say, I want to intervene. Because they will ask him, essentially, sir, what's your business in this house? Who invited you, sir? Do you understand? There's no invitation. So it's easy for Satan to inflict any of the children and the whole family. And so when we were inflicted at that time, when my father and mother did not know God, and they were inflicting us from my hometown, my mom ran to Sele looking for covering. And it was from fry pan to fire. Are you with me? Until I was the first to get born again. At the time I was getting born again, my brother was being shipped. I think he was in the Air Force. He went abroad and all that. We have never started Komogwo. My mom said, hey, I think one of the fights that we now fought was that, hey, your brother is in the Air Force. Hey, Kini, he can't. I said, if he dies, he will go to hell. We fought another fight. I to judge hello again. But was I lying? That was the truth. But then, a time now came one day, I went for service. And he just came and said, Che, in any case, in case anything happens to me, I've written your name down as my next of kin. I'm going to give you everything. And maybe he felt I was going to be very, very cool with that. He had a BMW that I don't even know where it is today. He had some few other things and every other thing. And for that statement, and I went, and I stood before the God of the Olaf. Said, for the fact that he made me next of kin, he will not die. I stood by the covenant that for that I take his life and I preserve it. That he will not die. His children will be his next of kin. He had not married. I will not take my brother's. What is the big deal? His children will take everything. It's not me that will do. Maybe it was. I've not even told you to finish, Master. Wait. One night, I was in Maiduguri. I was with Sadiq, the president chief of Air Staff. And I said, where's my brother? They said, they don't know. He went for a mission. And they have been waiting for him. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. He had not come. 11:30, he drove in. Sand all over his head and everything. What happened? He said, I would have died today. You know, I would have died today. What do you mean you would have died? He said, they gave him something and there was no fuel. And the helicopter ran off the fuel in the desert. And he had to crash. When he crashed, a helicopter is not like plane that you can glide. It will drop like stone. It didn't drop like stone and hit a sand dune, and the sand dune cushioned his crash. Helicopter didn't break. It didn't explode. All of them just came down. It was just that sand that entered his air and they went to pick him. Well, they had to call. I don't know how they got to one village. They now called and everything that he brought him. And I said, you can't die. God, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. Holy cool. Amen. So when he went to Echo Mug, so thank God my mother had gotten born again. My mother now began to pray. Adura, easy. He told me all kinds of terrible stories. There was one day, he said he had a dream that he was killed or something like that. And the following day, they went for a mission, and the thing played out exactly as it happened. The officer, he was a senior officer that was in the helicopter, he said they landed somewhere, beach, maybe to close the door. And he took off, the door was not properly closed. So the man got down, his own side was not closed. So the man got down to go and close the door. The propeller was still doing bro. Chancellor's men came out of the jungle, they were firing. And was looking at them. And he was telling, Oga, come here. And the man was like his organ, and was strolling. Oga, come here. And they were shooting. So if those boys had just stopped and aimed, they would have taken them out. But they just were running. They're running towards them. Say, oh God, that guy just came in, you know. Say, as he just jagged the aircraft and zoom. The man said, oh, so if you want to kill me. When they got back to the base, the whole aircraft was riddled with bullets. How he did not enter? I think the guy came back from Ekoma, born again. Praise God. he saw, it was God. It was God. So he knew that there was supernatural. So that is what happens when you are a Christian in a family. By that reason, you can invite God inside. Even if all of them are worshiping Shango, the fact that you are inside there, you have right. God has right to come in and say, "Shey Wolu, don't disturb our boys." Then they can get born again. Do you know that? But that does not mean that you pass salvation to them. Praise God. I was going to ask Pastor a question. Can I ask Pastor a question? Can you ask? You said there is sin on the mountain. There is sin in the valley. I said, is sin now location now? Yeah, Pastor. I have three questions. Yeah, just read question number one. Praise God. Yeah. Actually, what I guess Pastor was trying to say, Satan is everywhere. He's there to tempt you. And anywhere you see men, Satan will be there. He will always be there. So you can't dodge. We heard of stories of people went, because of this problem of sin, they went to beat monasteries inside mountains, inaccessible, but we still found Satan operating there. So all those things don't do with him. I don't know if I've ever thought, God, I just wish you can just, I just want to get to somewhere where nobody will trouble me. Even if you are alone, Satan will come there and tempt you again. So why don't you take a position and fight? It's so you have been, like Job said, man born of woman is full of trouble. Anywhere, if you are under this sun, Satan will fight you. For him to have people confronted Jesus, even on the cross, like a man of God said, he said we should emulate Satan. He doesn't believe in a no. He come to meet you. I said, fall. He said, you're not falling. You will go. You come back again. I said, that fall. You will be fall. He said, you're not agreeing. You will go and come back. Even while you are still taking your last breath, you're what? Follow. You know, but I'm trying to die. I'm trying to die here. He said, no. You must fall. So if we can emulate him like that, man, there's nobody we will not preach to. When they say, get out of my front. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I say, God bless you. Hey, that Jesus I was talking to him. I just told you to get out of my front. I said, yes, he loves you. And you create, Jesus loves the least with you. Even when they bang something on your head bang, or pour water on you, say, God bless you. Hey, as I was saying, the guy will sit there and say, you're a terrorist. Praise God. I think you are blessed tonight. It's a warfare. Sin is a warfare in its own class. People have subdued kingdoms, but they've not been able to deal with the sins in their hearts. Alexander subdued nations, but he could not cope. He was said to be an homosexual. That's what history ruined he was. But he had a problem with drink. He was a drunk. As powerful as he was a drunk. And the scripture says, a man who can control his spirit is better than a man that can take a city. But let me finish with this that the pastor quoted last. He said that we may become the righteousness. We are the one to prove God as righteous. People take that scripture to mean righteousness imputed. He's not saying that. God needs to be vindicated. Are you here with me? God needs to be vindicated, and your life will vindicate him. Your life will prove that God is right. Are you with me? That you may become the righteousness of God. How? In Christ. Satan has boasted that you will never measure up to God's standards. And God said, we shall see. That is the cosmic warfare that is taking place. So every time you make a choice, you are either validating God as right or you are validating him as wrong. is the choice we make. Are you understanding that scripture? So that we don't keep on, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are not yet the righteousness because you need to validate him. And how do you validate him as right? When you start doing the right things. Contrary to what Satan has said, you should do. It's just choice. Are you with me? But now that you are in Christ Jesus, he says sin should no longer have what? Dominion. It should not have. That's the purpose of Christ's resurrection. The death dealt with our forgiveness. Resurrection gave us access to power to live. I don't know whether I understand that. It's very, very simple. So that we don't mix it together. The power of the resurrection is the power of victory over sin. If you conquer sin, you have conquered creation. That's what creation is waiting for. Sons who will rise in the earth and they are walking without any blame. When Satan comes and says, Father, God, these children, in fact, there's no M there. Really. So once you start walking, the heavens will shake. Listen, prayers will not remove demons from the atmosphere. You don't understand. The demons we are fighting, we will cast them out. But there are still entities in the air, the prince of the powers of the air. Only obedience can dislodge them. I don't know whether you understand me. When your obedience is complete, you will be able to avenge. We can't avenge until our obedience is complete. Praise God. You ask me, is it possible? That is why it is in Christ Jesus. It's not him who runneth or him that willeth, but it's God who shows mercy and helps. The church must learn this technology. This is the last technology we must find out. How do you overcome sin and death? Prosperity is not our problem. That is not the issue. That's not the issue. There are the more serious one, we have not started facing it. And so I pray and ask God that will help us in the days ahead. Can we just thank the Lord and appreciate him? Lord, we thank you. Thank you for making these things clearer. Can you ask him for grace? One of the energies, one of the powers of God, one of the means by which God helps us is called grace. The Bible says the grace of God has appeared unto all men. Can you ask that that grace will also be released again? You want grace. But he giveth grace unto the humble. I humble myself tonight and I ask for help. I recognize my inabilities to deal with the situations I'm going through. There are certain things, it's called flesh, that you don't even know is inside of you. You don't even understand how it works. You don't even know how it got there. But somehow, God knows it. He can see. His eyes can pierce all the darkness in our hearts and can locate the source of the problem and deal with it. Can you ask him to intervene in your life? As you walk away from the point where he said, behold, you are a new creature. You want to really begin to live that life of a new creature. And stop living like a fallen man. Stop thinking like a fallen man. And stop sinning like a fallen man. Stop behaving like a man who have not known Christ. You refuse to be bound by religion and bound by religious thoughts and practices. You are guided by truth. It says, sin shall not have dominion over us. Father, this is the truth. I receive it. I make this declaration in the name of Jesus that I will be obedient to you in all things. I want to be obedient to you. I want you to help me. I want you to strengthen my heart. This thing is not just about preaching, it's about our doing. The Bible of what Jesus Christ began to do and to teach, that we also become doers of the word, not just hearers alone. Help me to be a doer of the word. Teach me how to be dependent upon you for strength, even in the days ahead. Father, we bless your great name. In Jesus' name we are prayed.
Father, we thank you for this evening and for your servant that you have used to open our eyes of understanding and to help us to see the provisions you have made for our victory. It was not just victory over other things, but essentially victory over death. Father, I pray that, Lord, in mercy, you will help every one of us in the name of Jesus. Whatever may be the hindrance, it may be our understanding, it may be our habits, it may be whatever it may be, I'm asking that you will break through for us in the name of Jesus. That you will break us out of this self-limitation, mental limitation, psychological limitation. Lord, all kinds of habits that have held us bound, let those things begin to give way tonight in the name of Jesus. The things that we were held bound by, that was natural for Satan to come and activate in us, let those powers and capacity, let them die tonight in the name of Jesus. Lead us in the path of righteousness. That's the promise you said. We ask that you will do this in the name of Jesus. Lead us into the place of the still waters. Restore our souls. Cause our souls to live. You promised us that you will give us life and life that will be very abundant. Bring us into a place of abundant life in the name of Jesus. We thank you, our Lord. Lord, we pray that you will help your servant increase your grace upon him. Pray, Lord, that understanding will be ministered, that you bless him with all thorns, that, Lord, these words will not stand against him in judgment in the name of Jesus. I pray this will not stand against any of us in judgment. It will enhance us. It will build us up. It will push us further. Lord, in this race, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, our Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.